Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are here. This is Next Fan Up. My name is Mark Sitko. I am the super fan for the Philadelphia Eagles. We had a good day today, finally a good day. Also with me tonight, I have three other super fans. I have Nick, who is the super fan for Kansas City. How you doing, Nick?
Having survived the pain that the Chiefs inflict upon me, I feel like I am Superman.
Nice. Great. We'll talk about your kryptonite later. That sounds great. Charlie, from our San Francisco super fan. Charlie, how you doing, buddy?
Dude, I'm doing good. I feel good. Can't wait to see a couple completed passes, and I'll feel better.
Nice. Exactly. Oh, man. Kaepernick is getting it so bad this week, but I think he's going to be fine. Don't listen to all that. That is ridiculous. People are turning and they're crazy.
He's great in prime time. Can't wait.
And it's tonight. Let's go. Come on. I need you to win. I really want you to beat the Giants. We'll talk about that game, but come on. We got to make that happen. Brian from the Green Bay Superfan. How you doing, Brian?
Feeling pretty good. Another day, another victory for the boys in the green and gold.
So easy for you guys. I love this when you just sit back and just like dominate everyone you guys play. Good game. You guys are awesome. We'll talk about all these games now. Let's start off first. We're going to go in chronological order, so we're going to go back to Thursday first. Charlie, if you could just help kick us off in this game. Indianapolis, Houston, obviously I think the team that we'd all expect came out on top. What did you think of this game? Anything interesting that popped up for you?
I got to say, I did not expect that. As soon as I found out Andrew Luck was not going to play and it was Hasselbeck coming off the basically a hospital bed with getting IVs for being sick with a viral illness, I figured for sure Houston had this game. They're at home. They had, I believe, Mallett, who had a whole 10 days to prepare, you know, finally after, you know, getting kind of squeezed in on some short weeks. And then all of a sudden, Hoyer comes in and leads them right down the field, and including that Hail Mary pass right before halftime. And, you know, all of a sudden, Houston had the Colts on upset alert. But, you know, they continue to feed the ball to Frank Gore, 22 carries, 98 yards, a touchdown. And just seeing Frank Gore next to Matt Hasselbeck, you know, the old NFC West rivals, was really weird for me. But to see Hasselbeck throw that nice touchdown to old Andre Johnson, and Andre was able to do well against his former team. So Colts win 27-20. Good game all around, though.
And Hasselbeck looked good, right? I mean, he might be candidate for best backup in the league after that performance. What do you think?
Yeah, you got to give it to him for sure. These two wins right here against divisional opponents, this might have saved their season. It really might have. So we'll see when Luck comes back. I believe they play the Pod Vader Patriots coming up. So it's going to be a tough game.
Yeah. They're like the Brian team, right? Like the Green Bay, where you just sit back and watch them dominate people. It'll be interesting to see them play Indianapolis. I was impressed. I just thought that Hasselbeck looked completely like a starter. You know, I'm not saying he was like the best quarterback or a top five or top 10 quarterback, but he didn't look like a backup at all. And of clearly he has a lot of experience, but I was very impressed. I thought he looked great for his age and everything. Awesome. Very good work. Moving on to the Washington Atlanta game. This game did not go for a lot of this game the way I think people thought. I would assume most people would assume that Atlanta was going to win this game. But Washington made it a game and makes me feel better for losing to Washington last week, because I thought Atlanta was much better than Washington. And to see Washington hang with them really surprises me, especially for the Washington's horror. Like, out of the teams that have faced Atlanta, Washington might have the worst secondary. And the fact that they were even in that game and that Julio wasn't just mocking them the entire game, as he has done to many other defenses this year, surprised me. In the end, they pulled it out. It did go to overtime, so it was close than I'm sure Atlanta wanted it to be, but they pull out the win. Like I said, if anything, I'm just impressed that Washington put up that good of a fight. I do expect Atlanta to win this game. I think Atlanta's a playoff team. I think Atlanta's going to take that division. Right now you have Atlanta and Carolina owning that division, but I think that if one of those is a pretender and one's a contender, I think that Atlanta's the contender and the Panthers are the pretenders.
With all the drama that has surrounded Washington and the RG3 situation, you know, I will definitely hold up my hand as one of the many people that thought that Washington was done this year, that they were going to be a bottom feeder throughout the rest of the 2015 season, and that the RG3 situation had basically been the lead boots for them. But I always thought that it was a bad pairing. RG3, if you're going to be invested in him, bringing in Jay Gruden doesn't make any sense for what he looks for in a quarterback, and this whole thing just seemed like a total mess. But, I mean, it's actually starting to seem like the Jay Gruden identity is starting to settle in Washington, and they may actually be a decent team. I don't say they're ever going to be necessarily a good team, at least not this year, but you can start to see what this regime can make this team into. Still, who knows what's going to happen to RG3, but they're not going to be a dumpster fire this year, it looks like.
I agree completely. Yeah, I mean, I would have, ever since RG3's rookie season, they have not looked like a foundationally solid team. And for the first time, they really do. I have to tip my hat to Gruden. I didn't see him doing this, especially with all the craziness last year in that team, in that locker room. I just never saw them getting it together. I thought he was going to be done and get fired. I don't think he gets fired this year. I think they give him at least one more year to build. And as somebody who has to compete with them, that scares me. I think that they're in a position that they have enough things there to, like you said, be a decent team that next year, they fix that secondary. They get a little more pieces, a couple more weapons. And that offense, I mean, Cousins is playing fine. He's not amazing, but he beat us on a game-winning drive. I've seen him do things like a professional quarterback. I think he's serviceable at worst. I agree completely. Moving on to Cleveland, Baltimore. Our super fan for Baltimore, for Cleveland, wrote in Rob Kohler just on Slack. He reached out just to say how stoked he was to beat the effing Baltimore Ravens, as he said. I'm sure that is a great day for anyone in Cleveland, obviously, with the history of those two teams. I thought this stat line was just amazing. McCown, 36 for 51, 457. Two touchdowns and a rushing touchdown. So three total touchdowns. I mean, wow, Baltimore defense. Wow. Just crazy. Flacco's numbers were not nearly as impressive. Forsett had a good day. But in the end, I mean, they came down to the wire and Cleveland pulled it out. Baltimore, just when the ball needs to bounce their way, it is not going their way. This is not their season. I think that team is in a lot of trouble. It's going to be interesting to see what they can turn around. I feel bad for Steve Smith. I love Steve Smith, and I feel bad for him on that team that he's, has to play on that team that is just always unlucky, it seems. Moving on. Seattle, Cincinnati. Charlie, you took a look at this team, being, I'm sure, interested in how Seattle would play. You have to be happy with that outcome. What did you think of this game?
Well, I really wanted to watch this game, not necessarily because I thought Seattle was going to lose. It was because I wanted to confirm my theory that when Seattle gets lucky on a Monday night football game on a call at home, that a ref blows, that they get on a run. I figured for sure they were going to get on a run, get right, and blow them out. And midway through the third quarter, that was the narrative. But Andy Dalton came back with a 17-point comeback unanswered to tie it and then win it. Really, at this point, I got to say, watching Andy Dalton, watching all the other quarterbacks in the NFL, is he a top three QB? I mean, number three, obviously. He is just throwing dimes out there. And you should have seen the 74-yard touchdown pass to A.J. Green that got called back. I mean, they're just on rhythm, And after that, Richard Sherman famously only covers one side of the field. He actually started shadowing A.J. Green and did end up, for the most part, taking him out of the game. But really great game by the Cincinnati Bengals, and the, typically the Cincinnati way, as I'm sure Simon, our super fan, could tell us, is they get behind by 17 points and they lose. So it was huge to see them come back. Tyler Eifert might be the second best tight end in football. A.J. Green's got to be, earning that new contract for sure. Probably a top three wide receiver as well. And there's a lot going on in Cincinnati. None of it matters, though, until they get past wild card Saturday. And they might do it with a divisional win and a first-round bye. So we'll see.
Wow. Awesome. I was impressed. I mean, Australian Simon has to be stoked. That's an amazing win. He predicted it. He thought they could pull it out. He thought they could compete. At the beginning of that game, like you said, it didn't look good for him, but awesome win, Simon. Great game. Moving on now, St. Louis, Green Bay. Brian, once again, like you said at the top, you guys just dominate. You beat a team. I think anybody going into Lambeau is not expected to win. But how did this game look? Did you guys just, how glorious was it, Brian?
I guess the thing that I'd point out is that you can say that we dominated, and I would agree with you if you're talking about the defense. Offense, we were a little sluggish out there. We were having a hard time finding open receivers, and Rodgers was having to move around a little bit more. Well, he's been able to do that for most of the year. But they had him under pressure, and it was a tougher game than I expected going into it, and I kind of expected it to be a difficult game. So getting to the defensive side of the ball, though, I think if anybody's still sleeping on the Packers defense, it's time to wake up. They're dominant in the pass rush, and we have we gave up some yards on the ground today to Todd Gurley, but I think he's a pretty good running back. So I was a little surprised we didn't stack the box a little bit more. It seemed like we were keeping seven in and not necessarily eight, which is what I would have done. But in the end, it didn't really end up hurting us. Four turnovers, three sacks. All the way around, the first half of the football game was pretty dominant on the defensive side of the ball.
No, that's great, man. Good game. I'm excited to see if you guys can make the run all the way. I mean, right now, looking at the two sides, I guess Cincinnati has an argument. It's like Cincinnati or New England, and on this side, I think it's Green Bay, maybe Atlanta, but I think Green Bay really is on another, its own tier in the NFC as a team, to the team to beat. And I'm excited to see you guys make your playoff run. If no one slows you down before the playoffs, everyone's got to go through Lambeau, and that is going to be ugly. So, man, I'm envious. Great team.
Two picks at Lambeau. First time since 2009, I think they said. Two picks or three turnovers total. I mean, a fumble, too. So, yeah, they got after him a little bit and had a tip ball that got picked off, and one that was probably should have been picked off that Nick Fairley dropped. It was a struggle for us on the offensive side, and luckily the defense played well enough to lift us up.
Awesome win. Like I said, congratulations. Looking at Chicago, KC, can't congratulate Nick you as much. I'm so sorry, buddy. This had to hurt. Chicago is not a good team. What is going on here? How did this fall through your fingers?
Well, I do want to first say that, just, I mean, Chicago has been snake-bitten with a whole bunch of injuries, and I do think with a healthy Jay Cutler, and once they start getting some of their other injured players back, this is a team that's not going to be, you know, one of the five worst. It's going to be an okay team, and I think they're probably better than they've looked in the first few weeks of the season. Jay Cutler put on a really nice drive to get the go-ahead score with 18 seconds left in the game. They had been trailing the rest of the game. But none of that is an excuse for the fact that the Chiefs lost this game. To add not only salt, but like hydrochloric acid and anything else you can possibly pour into a wound. Jamal Charles blew out his knee in this game. It looks like it's an ACL. It looks like he's going to be gone for the season.
For our fantasy people, who should we pick up? Who do you pick up now without Jamal? Who's going to take on that role?
It does look like the handcuff is going to be Tre'Kendrick West, not Nile Davis. He was getting the carries after Charles went down, and he runs a bit more like Charles. He's sort of, in a way, actually, his skill set's similar to Charles. He just doesn't have the elite speed. I think the Chiefs are going to use him more going forward. But in terms of the Chiefs' own woes and how they actually managed to lose this game, I've talked about the other various weaknesses of the teams in podcasts past. The one thing that I'd been sort of giving this team the benefit of the doubt on was the coaching staff to some certain extent, and Andy Reid's play calling, which is something that, you know, me and you, Sitko, could probably talk about for hours. But the fact is that it was a major factor in this loss. Reed draws up great plays. He overall, again, the big picture, puts this team in a better place to win. But despite the fact that he crafts plays that actually, I think, help manufacture offense for this team, and that, you know, that can create separation and things like that here and there. The sequence of the way that he calls plays is just mind-boggling at times. And the fact that there were times, you know, and I know I'm speaking to the choir for Eagles fans, but, you know, throwing the ball on third and one on our opening possession when we have one of the best running backs in the league, still healthy at that point in the game, you know, things like that. And going three and out on, you know, on our opening drive because we, I don't know, Reed was just in the throw-happy mood at that time. And in fact, I think actually Charles only got one touch in the first quarter. And the fact that, I mean, the Chiefs were up 14-3 at some point in this game. And the defense seemed to come alive again, but that's, you know, that's against an inferior, you know, Chicago Bears team and an injury riddled offensive line. You know, the fact is the Chiefs will be lucky to make it to 8-8 this year. And it's just looking bad overall for us this year.
I'm sorry. At this point. I wish we could, like, yeah, sweeten out the bitter by having Tom here just to have his little simple celebration, his first celebration of the year. They're like the golden lining of this sadness is that they actually won. Chicago actually won a game, and that's great for them.
Cutler was the hero. Cutler was the hero, not the villain for once, you know?
Totally. These games are really good things for them, but I know that sucks for you, man. And the injury is the worst thing. I mean, that's, like you said, pouring everything into the wound. Really, that's a bummer, man. I'm sorry for you. I think you guys I'm hoping you'll be better than 8-8. This is Alex Smith's time. This is when Alex Smith can shut up all the haters. If he actually leads this team to 9-7 or 10-6, people have to shut up. You know, I think that will really win him some favor. So go for it, Alex. Good luck. I'm sorry, buddy. My game, we turned it around this game. Finally, I don't think New Orleans is very good, obviously. We threw our first two trips to the end zone. We threw interceptions. We, as in Bradford, threw interceptions. One of them where it was just the guy was open. It was Cooper, and he just underthrew it a little bit, and the guy was able to break under it. But if he put it up high, there was no way the guy, you know, Cooper was wide open for a touchdown. The other one was Austin, who I just hate seeing on my team, this former Cowboy who just, it seems anytime we go to him, bad things happen. I think it's just a curse of letting that evil star back into your locker room. But he goes, yeah, like on a slant, and the ball's just a little behind him. The guy makes a great play, Brown, I think it is. I'm not sure, the cornerback. But for New Orleans, regardless, it looked really bad. We were in our typical shooting ourselves in the foot mode. But then we got our act together, and it was clear that all game, New Orleans had no offense whatsoever to really speak of, other than Breeze making amazing throws on third and long, which he did several times, very impressive. But without him, they really just don't have anything. They've stripped Breeze of all of his weapons. All he has is Cooks. Colston is injured and kind of wobbly, and there's no one else that scares you. So all you have is one player and a great quarterback. It's not enough to really do anything. You can shut it down. And then on defense, I mean, Rob Ryan is a joke, by far the worst defensive coordinator in the league. Just if it wasn't for his name, and which he gives a bad name to, he would not be in his position. I don't understand. He's wretched. So talk about like the twins were the runt twin compared to his brother. I mean, are you kidding me? Rex Ryan is a genius when it comes to blitzing and defense and pressure. And I think Rob is just, you know, half-assing it all the time. That game, it was great to see Philly finally turn it around. We're in a really strange position all of a sudden. We're now, if we go in to beat the Giants next week on Monday night, we're at the top of the division. And we're watching Dallas completely fall apart and implode. And we just beat the Giants. We get to play them again, and we can beat them again and even put more gap between us and them. So we control our own destiny all of a sudden after being horrible the first couple weeks. So I just hope this is a sign of us turning things around, because we are fine. If we play fine from here, we can take this division to make the playoffs and win one playoff game, which is really all I expect of this team, because I don't think we're going to beat Brian's team. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think we deserve to go to the Super Bowl more than Green Bay unless we show an incredible improvement, which just isn't going to happen. Our defense looked great. Special teams is great, other than the fact that our kicker, Sturgis, is ridiculous. Misses extra points, misses field goals. But all the offensive weapons, everything's coming around. We still have some drops that I'd love to clean up. But the offensive line was looking better. And I'm starting to really believe that Matthews is better than DeMarco Murray for our offense. And that is a frightening thought when you look at their contracts. But maybe we're just paying a lot of money so that the Dallas Cowboys have a horrible running game, which they do. So, moving on, Jacksonville, Tampa Bay. Nick, you had some thoughts on Tampa Bay. What do you think of this game? I mean, obviously, these are two teams no one expects much of down in Florida, hacking it out. I was hoping Jacksonville would beat Tampa Bay, but what did you see in this game? What are your thoughts?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I mean, again, this was sort of advertised as the toilet bowl, not only because it's a Florida game, but because, you know, these are two very bottom feeder teams. But I think it's also, it was a game that was going to be looked upon. I mean, when we get to the end of the season, you know, both of these two regimes, I think, are on somewhat shaky footing, but I think the Jacksonville one even more so. And I do think this is going to be one of the games that's going to be looked upon, rightly or wrongly, as being one of the reasons why they all get blown up at the end of the year. Because the fact is that the Buccaneers are not a particularly good team, but they were able to make it work. Doug Martin, who had been in witness protection for a year or something, suddenly came back on the scene, actually had a great game. The Buccaneers have come up with a formula of not putting too much on Winston's shoulders, which is, I think, the only way to get, a quarterback, a rookie quarterback, you know, acclimatized in this league, especially when you don't have a whole lot else around him. You have to find some way of getting something else going on your team's offense that it doesn't, you're not forcing some college kid to save your professional team, where it's not a particularly good team. But on the Jacksonville side, I mean, you can't say that their young quarterback was the reason for this either, for their loss. Bortles actually had a really good game, especially, you know, just looking at the stats. I mean, he was 23 for 33, 303 yards, 4 touchdowns. He had an interception. But, I mean, he looks like he could, you know, he could be a foundation element, but he hasn't been enough for this team. And it's a bit of a shame because I think, like a lot of people, saw the Jaguars as moving in the right direction, but it's not translating into wins, and that's the only real currency in this league. So I'm not sure where it leaves the Jaguars, but the Buccaneers now have 2 wins, and it's something to build on for them. You know, they could actually end up having a decent season this year.
It's a fascinating comparison, right, to look at Gus Bradley and what he's doing in Jacksonville and look at Philbin coming out of Miami. You could argue that what Gus Bradley has done far worse, like the USF record and how they're playing. It's an interesting comparison there of the two coaches, one getting fired and one of them being allowed to keep building there. Buffalo, Tennessee, this game, again, a game I don't think too many people were super excited about. Buffalo is a team that seemed to have some promise right at the beginning of the year, but is showing their colors, and they're not doing as well as we thought. We were tricked into believing, or it seemed at least the main media, that the offense was actually going to be able to function, and it wasn't going to be just them relying on a defense to shut people down and keep them in games, as we saw today, under 17 points. They squeaked it out. The Titans jumped out to an early lead, but eventually Buffalo was able to come back and win it. Buffalo does have a lot of injuries, I know, especially with running backs right now. But regardless, I think neither of these teams are going very far this year. Buffalo has no chance, I think, a game against the Patriots. I just don't think they're going to catch up in any way. And as good as Mariota has looked, I just don't think Tennessee is going to fully compete this year. But another couple of years, both these teams could be doing great. Buffalo just needs to fix that offense a little more, and they're going to be in great shape. Okay, Arizona-Detroit. Brian, you had a chance to look at this game. I thought it was interesting at the beginning. I was a little bit worried for Arizona, but it seemed that they handled it nicely as they moved along. How did this game look? What was it like?
Yeah, I was really curious to see after the blown call last week that cost Detroit, in my opinion, that victory, how they were going to come out. And they kind of went into a shell. They didn't really look too hot on offense. They couldn't stop Arizona on defense. I actually was cheering for the Lions this week. I just don't feel like they're going to threaten for the division at all, whereas the Cardinals might be able to push a little bit in the playoffs. So we'll have to play them in Arizona later this year. So if we finish the year with the same record and they beat us in that game, then we would potentially have to go there. So I really was hoping the Lions could win. But like so many other times, they got in their own way. They threw a billion turnovers. Stafford looked really bad. He looked, no offense, Charlie, he looked Kaepernick bad. And I just don't think that he's. It'll be interesting to see what they do with him going forward. If it's just kind of a one game thing, or if the whole team kind of goes into shutdown mode where they kind of look like they quit today. So it's not something you want to see, especially if you're a coach in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure, for sure. New England-Dallas. This game, I mean, obviously we expect New England to beat them with all the injuries that Dallas has, but it was just a complete routing. There's not a whole lot to really bring up here. I think that we're looking at a team in Dallas when it doesn't have its weapons, they just have no chance. They're missing Romo, they're missing Dez, they're missing Lance Dunbar, who I think was a major weapon from the backfield. It's really trouble time there. Whedon is doing the best he can, but I just don't think he has a chance. This is my favorite stat, though. 15 carries for 60 yards for Randall. The total of 6 points. Yeah, this offensive line may be amazing, but it's not going to be able to do that. The one bright spot for Dallas in this game was Greg Hardy getting his sacks and looking very, you know, flashy and strong in this game, getting after Brady all game long. That's frightening. He's a total jerk and disgusting and shouldn't be playing in this league, but he's going to be really good at chasing down and hurting people. Who knew? Who knew? Interesting to see. But, you know, obviously I'm happy to see Dallas go down, but I feel they've been robbed of their season. They were definitely going to be one of the contending teams. And with these injuries, it's just going to be very difficult. By the time they get the injuries back, the players back, who knows if they're going to be ready to play at a level to even compete. They say there's a chance Dez is coming back after their bye, which I believe is next weekend. But I don't think that's likely. I think Tony's going to be a couple more weeks. Moving on to Denver-Oakland, the last game that is in the past that we can talk about. Nick, you check this game out. What do you think? How are these teams looking? How did it go?
Well, it was a much closer game than I think anyone would have expected, given the matchup. And, you know, the reality of it is that Denver has a great offense. Denver has an amazing and really playoff level, maybe even Super Bowl level defense, but their offense has fallen off a huge cliff with the way that that Peyton Manning has regressed in his old age. And they barely snuck out this game. But they're still undefeated. They are 5-0. They're one of the, you know, I think they're basically, you know, they're one of very few teams that are still 5-0 and heading, on a playoff trajectory that, you know, really it'll be difficult for them to miss the playoffs at this point. But I just don't see them being the sort of team that's going to make a lot of noise in the postseason at this point. You know, they've been counting on their defense bailing them out with late game turnovers and things like that to get them these wins against fake, you know, frankly mediocre teams, including the Chiefs, you know. And I just don't see the defense bailing them out in the games that are really going to matter in the postseason. On the Oakland side, as much as I hate to give any compliments to the Oakland Raiders, they really look like they are a team that's progressing, and that are basically on the same level as the Chargers and the Chiefs. I'm not sure if any wild card team is going to come out of this division. It looks like it's going to be Denver, and maybe none of the other three teams are going to, you know, have any chance of a playoff berth. But I think at this point, I mean, the Raiders have as good of a chance as anybody, with the fact that Carr is playing well enough. The defense is playing far better than I thought they would. And so, you know, this is going to be a muddled division, but, you know, it looks like it's going to be the Broncos squeaking out of it and sort of a dogfight amongst little mutts at the bottom.
Yeah. I know you're not looking forward to it, like you mentioned, with Oakland being good, but it warms my heart to think about Oakland being actually a good team again. We waited so long, and this is so dark, but that when Al Davis had his grip on that team, it had no chance. And so the passing of Al Davis allows for this like rebirth in Oakland. And it's taken like another 5 years. Like, it wasn't fast after that. And they're finally, it's like you're finally seeing little seeds break into like, oh, it's like a real NFL sprout. And it's great. I just have to say, it's always nice to see that happen. Because some teams, man, you're in the darkness for so long. As an Eagles fan, I've been through that. Like, I've been a fan since the early 80s. So we've had stretches where it's like, yeah, a decade of sadness. And just so to see that, it does make me happy. And I know I don't think they're any threat to you guys yet in KC, even with your injuries there. I think you guys are going to be all right. But it is nice to see, like I said, a sprout of a real NFL team. To close off today, I'm going to get you off as soon as I can, Charlie. I know you want to jump to see your game. We're recording this Sunday night, and this game is probably even already starting. Charlie, what do you think? San Francisco, New York Giants, you guys winning? Can you please beat the Giants for me tonight so we can easily take this division? What are your thoughts?
You know, in my preview, I wasn't feeling it. It was midweek. I was down on Kaepernick even more than I ever have been. But, you know, today I feel really good. Kaepernick and the Niners play very well on primetime games. So, you know, even though we're traveling east to New Jersey, that's a scary thought. But defense played well against the Packers. And like you said, the Packers defense has been phenomenal this year. The Niners have gone against three Super Bowl contenders the past 3 weeks and have not fared well. But going into the season, I thought we'd be 1-3 in the stretch anyway. Did mark this down for a win preseason, and I still feel that way. The Giants have done very good against the run, so look for the Niners to try to pop them with some trick-type plays, kind of like they did with Quentin Patton last week on a reverse type of play. I don't know. I just feel good. I probably shouldn't. Kaepernick has not looked good thus far, but, you know, the guy was two plays away from the biggest Super Bowl, the biggest comeback in Super Bowl history. So we owe him a full season, regardless of whether, you know, he's doing it or not. We owe it to him. And if he can't do it by the end of the season, you know, we'll draft someone else. But Gabbert's not the answer, like a lot of people are saying. And I don't know. I just feel comfortable tonight. I'm in radio silence, so I have no idea what the score is. But I know we received the ball first, and we'll see what Kaepernick and company have in store.
Right on, man. I'm rooting for you. Please beat them, Charlie. That would make my night. I got to see Dallas lose. To see them lose would be the best. And Washington as well, which is like a great day all around. Come on, finish it off, the trifecta. And speaking of that, if you guys drop Kaepernick, we're going to take him as a backup. So that's great. You guys go ahead and do that. I'd rather him than Sanchez. That sounds awesome.
That would be scary.
Well, yeah, actually, I think that Chip would dig that.
Let's talk about the 2011 draft. A lot of people were just all on the Bengals ownership for not drafting Colin Kaepernick, drafting Andy Dalton a spot ahead of him. And fast forward to 2015. Oh,
yeah,
boy.
Totally. No, it's amazing.
I would love to have the red rifle behind center in a red uniform.
Yeah.
But
no, it's so hard. That's why we can't judge him right until the end of a career, but we do it so quickly. But go ahead. Sorry.
It's very true. I'm with Cap, so just need for him to prove it for me.
Yeah, man. Go for it. Come on. Win tonight. This was Next Fan Up. Thank you guys for joining us. We have a show again coming up on Thursday. It'll be hosted by Pod Vader, previewing all the Week 6 action. We have a lot of good games coming up next week. Should be a lot of fun. Please join us. You can follow us at NFU Podcast on Twitter. You can look for us on Facebook just by going to Facebook and typing in Next Fan Up. You will find us there. Please reach out to us. There are a bunch of superfan slots open right now. Any team you have not heard a superfan on the podcast representing is up for fire. So you should please send in. If you want to be a superfan and you love your team, write in. Let us know. We're looking for people that can record Sunday night, record on Thursday. Really passionate. Love talking about their team. As you hear, all these superfans we have, very insightful. Thank you so much for being listeners. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you guys all later. And I am out.
With the first pick in the NFL draft.
Samuel says that the Giants have the best running defense in the league. I find this hard to believe.
They do.
I don't know where the hell how they do that. You guys fix that tonight. Make that so that's not a fact anymore. You can fix that.
It's because they're 32nd against the pass. Why run the ball when you can throw the ball?